Speaking of crap tough governors, we've got our favorite wacko leftist liberal.
The wacko.
Mark Levine from Radio Inside Scoop.
Our wacko demographics really like it when we go to Mark.
They get all excited. I got so many happy emails after we had him on last week that I thought we should have him back.
Yeah, good move. Good move. I love talking to him. Hey, Mark, good morning. Tom and Todd here.
Mark gives a whole new meaning to the phrase Good Friday. How are you, Mark? We're good.
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Hey, Mark, let's start right away. President Obama offered some critical commentary about Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, saying they really drive up the level of vitriol. Todd's take on it, my take as well, is that, you know, the president is no slacker on this stuff. He's pretty good at amping it up as well.
You know, I don't think he called Rush Limbaugh Hitler, but I might have missed that one.
I guess you did.
I think Rush is a little harsher to Obama than Obama is to Rush.
You don't think so? No. Come on.
It's not about how they treat each other. It's about who adds more divisiveness to the marketplace. And when you take a piece of legislation and force it through Congress, a major piece of legislation that even your own party has to be pummeled to pass, that's divisive politics.
Oh, no. Majority vote. Democracy. Hate it. Hate it, Todd. Right? Hate it. Terrible.
That's not the point I'm making. You're being non-responsive. What I'm saying is his own party didn't want to pass this thing.
Forcing it through Congress, yeah. To me, majority rule means majority rule. I don't know. I think democracy works. It's better than other forms of government. You may disagree, but I guess that's just for liberals and conservatives, right?
All right, non-responsive number two. I'll give you one more chance. He forced it through his own
party. He didn't force anything.
Oh, really? It didn't take a little convincing to get Democrats to pass this?
Do you know any major legislation that didn't take some convincing? This is a complex, very important piece of legislation. The point is it was passed by majority rule. And that's the way democracy works.
But if people don't like it,
they can try to repeal it by majority rule. Good luck with that.
I don't think anybody's objecting to majority rule. What we're saying is he passed a major piece of legislation that his own party, it took him close to a year to get his own party to vote for the radical thing that he was pushing.
No, actually, had he done reconciliation 6 months ago, he could have gotten this 6 months ago. He tried very hard to reach out to Republicans, and they just said no. And the sad thing is that the Republicans could have gotten a bunch of things through that they wanted if they had just been willing to compromise.
Let me ask you this, as a proud liberal and very happy with the accomplishment, what's your take? Let's go back a little bit in time. Your take from last July when he insisted that Congress put the 2,000-page bill on his desk before they went home to an August recess. Now, we all know what happened in the interim, many, many, many months of wrangling, procedural maneuvers, and all the rest of that stuff. But just the notion that the president demanded of Congress, you do this, I want this on my desk before you go. Does that strike you as chutzpah beyond belief?
No, I think every president tries to set a deadline for their legislation. I remember when George Bush wanted to end Social Security as we know it, put it on a deadline, and, you know, it never happened. I mean, presidents do their best to try to get their agenda through. I think the real mistake he made, though, was that he allowed Congress to have a little too much say in the bill early on. If he'd put his imprimatur on it a little bit earlier, I think he would have gotten it through a little bit earlier. He gave Congress a little bit too much leeway, in my view. And then he did some leadership to fix it.
Wow. So, Mark, President Obama, big, big accomplishment in your eyes and in the eyes of, you know, his legions of followers. And yet very little, it seems to us, at least very little bounce in the polls. How do you explain that?
I think it's going to take some time for this bill to wend its way through. I think people have to see what the bill does. They're on wait and see. So let them see that, oh, wow, I can cover my kid for health care. My kid was, you know, he was in real trouble. He was going to die. He was born with a pre-existing condition. Now I got him covered.
Yeah.
Covered till he's 26. I think people have to see each part of the bill go through. They're going to see that, you know what, they're not going to lose their doctor. There are no death panels.
No, there are death panels. Paul Krugman announced it the other day. You didn't hear?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cooks, you have that Paul Krugman sound? He was on this week. It wasn't George, because he's not on the show anymore, but Jake Tapper was filling in, and they were talking about healthcare, and listen what happened.
It's amazing, actually, if you think about people on the right, they're simultaneously screaming, they're going to send all the old people to death panels, and it's not going to save any money. That's a contradictory point of view.
Death panels would save money.
The advisory panel has the ability to make more or less binding judgments on saying this particular expensive treatment actually doesn't do any good medically, and so we're not going to pay for it. That is actually going to save quite a lot of money.
We don't know how much. Mark Levine, I expect you to jump in here now and jump on a fellow liberal, specifically Krugman, when he talks about advisory commissions that can do binding medical decisions. Some bureaucrat in Washington is going to overrule my Harvard medical trained doctor.
Death panels are real. Paul Krugman not only says they're real, they're the most exciting part of the legislation because they're going to save a ton of money.
Todd, right now, as you know, insurance companies make money by cutting you off, by saying, oop, you're sick, you're gone. Right now, there are death panels, if that's what you want to call it. What he's saying is that if there's tried and true treatments that work and there are things that don't work, then if there's things that don't work, you should pay for them yourself.
What's
so hard to know about that? If you think that massage is going to cure your cancer, pay for yourself. Don't put it on taxpayers.
Hang on a sec, Mark Levine, because there is a good answer to that. The fear and what the death panel phrase means and why it's so scary is we're talking about an invisible panel in Washington.
Invisible?
That simply, faceless, nameless people. Nobody knows where they sit. They have a meeting and they issue a decision that says mammograms now start at 50. We're not funding them for anyone under the age of 50. Now, that might be good medicine on a macro viewpoint. You might look at the whole country and say that's the best for us in terms of reducing costs. It doesn't mean that it's best for every patient. And that's what a death panel is. That's what's scary, but that's what has Paul Krugman excited because he knows those death panels will turn a profit.
You support the death panels that are in place before the legislation, right? Where the insurance company says, you know what? I need a corporate jet for our CEO. Let's just cut those people off. And then they do. That's what you support, rather than reasoned doctors making reasonable decisions.
So you're conceding that bureaucrats in Washington will be making the medical decisions for people moving forward, and you think that's better than having business people doing it. And that's a fair argument. I will take a business guy any day of the week over a government bureaucrat. Because
you know what the difference is, Todd?
Yes, I do.
We elect people in the government. People in business just run right over us.
But you know what? We don't elect those nameless, faceless people who will occupy these 50...
Why are they nameless and faceless?
Because you don't...
They have names. They have faces.
Okay.
They'll be appointed.
Tell me who the people were on that advisory panel a couple months ago who said mammograms are now going to start at 50. Go ahead. Give us their names.
I don't know that they did say that.
Well, that... you don't even know what the advisory panel said? Forget about who the advisory panel members are.
Doctors can make all kinds of recommendations. The point is people with money will always be able to afford any kind of health care they want. That's the system now. That's the system afterwards. The difference is right now people have no... Right before this bill, people have no health care at all. Now they're going to have some health care. That's a major difference. It's a lot better for them. And for those of us with health care, it will be cheaper because their profits are going down.
So you support the death panel?
There are no death panels.
Paul Krugman just said they're the best part of the bill. And he's a Nobel Prize winning supporter of Obamacare.
So you're complaining that people who are uninsured today
and don't have
any care today won't have 100% care tomorrow if they can't afford it? That's what you're complaining about?
So you're conceding Krugman's point, then?
Absolutely not.
You keep changing your argument against...
I'm not sure. This is getting circular. Mark, do you really believe that costs are going to go down?
I do.
Let's take some calls for Levine.
I can tell you why. There's a limit on their profits.
He doesn't only drink the Kool-Aid. He drinks everything.
Wow.
Whatever they put there, he'll drink it.
Hitting the jokes down, baby.
You'll see.
Russ, good morning. You're on WRKO with Mark Levine.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, Mark...
Say hi to Finneran, too.
Oh, yeah. Mark, let me put it this way. You sound like a victim of your Marxist professors that have brainwashed you. Let us talk about the net result of government health care. First of all,
there's no government health care here. What are you talking about? This is private.
The government controls more than 50% of the health care dollars in this country. They're the ones who made a mess of it.
Oh, you hate Medicare. I'm sorry. You're talking about Medicare.
Of course I hate Medicare. Mark. It's driving us into bankruptcy.
All right, you like
bankruptcy, Levine?
Mark.
Yes.
Don't overspeak me, please. You know, we all take our turn, and then after I get through speaking, you can comment, okay? But have a little bit of decency and courtesy and not overtalk people, okay?
Whoa, Russ.
Okay, first of all, doctors' income will be limited. Doctors will have stressed patient load. Hospitals will be overloaded. You will wait months and years for selective surgery. Little money for research. More pain and suffering because technology will not proceed as it has in the past.
Wow.
The brightest and the best will leave the profession and seek others. Now, you don't have enough common sense to see that?
Actually, what's good to me is when you say that and when it doesn't happen, people are going to really rally around the bill and say, wow, God, all those horrible things that he promised, they didn't happen. I can still go see my doctor. I can still go to my insurance company. Oh, and you know what? They stopped raising my premiums. Hey,
you
my kid's covered. That's pretty good.
Mark, let me jump in here for a minute. How is it possible for premiums not to rise when brilliant scientists, maybe you and Todd, go out and invent an imaging machine that now shows the development of the cancer years, if not months earlier, and somebody else comes up with a medicine or a formula for addressing that cancer? Answer or other innovations, how does the cost go down?
Because right now, insurance companies make up to 30% of the cost you pay in premium in pure profits. And Medicare has an overhead rate of about 3%. That in alone is a lot of savings. 27%. That's a lot of money.
Wow, this is Fantasy Island.
You're an eternal optimist. It's a beautiful
Island.
Thing
yeah.
to see. Mike, you're on WRKO with Mark Levine. Hi, Mike. Mike! Wait a second.
We got to punch you.
Mike. Okay, Mike. I thought Mike had been sent to a death panel.
Not yet.
Give him it hasn't been implemented yet.
I just got to say that, first of all, 2 points after this comment, that this guy is a nutcase.
You can speak directly to Mark. Don't talk about him in front of his face.
The first thing is I just don't understand how this guy can say that people die every day from not having health care.
Okay, tens of thousands.
You sit there and say every day that I listen to you on the radio on the station that you sit there and say people, you know, because they don't have health care are going to die. I've never seen one person so far die because they did not have health care. This is nothing but a
They're dying on the streets. Haven't you been down Newbury Street lately in Boston?
Yeah, exactly.
There are people laying there.
And that's why they're complaining right now about how many people are coming across the border right now down in Texas to get health care. And it's going to even be 10 times worse now that we have health care for everybody.
So, Mike, you're advocating that we go to the Mexican system because you think it's better than ours? Look, Harvard Medical Study, the guy I mentioned, Harvard Medical Doctor, said up to 40,000 people a year die from inadequate insurance.
Yeah, they make up things, Mark, just so you can repeat them.
You respected Harvard 5 minutes ago. Now you don't like it.
When did I ever respect Harvard?
It was Finneran. Finneran did.
I did. I apologize.
Thank you, Mike, for the call.
That's a huge mistake on my part.
I apologize.
Jason and Lynn, you're next on RKO. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Senator Mark Levine.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, one simple question for you is, where does your confidence in government derive from?
The successes that government's done. I like my interstate highways. I think that the military does a pretty good job. I think Social Security has been successful in keeping old people from dying. I think Medicare is a great program. 94% of seniors like it. Some things government does very well. Some things they do very badly. But one thing we do know is that in countries all over the globe, every single one of the major industrialized countries, they have government-run health care and that it costs less. So actually, I don't think this bill goes far enough. I really don't, because we don't have government-run health care.
All right, the military, for one, the military runs the military. Social
That's
Security,
not government?
Listen, the military personnel and the military guy, they run the military in spite of what the bureaucrats...
Well, a little different. Say. No. The Constitution puts it under civilian control. You know that. Mike. Jason, let's be fair. Congress sets your budget, and there's a commander-in-chief. You might not like him from time to time, but it's under civilian control. You got to be fair in your comments. Otherwise, Mark will never come back.
His comment isn't unfair. What he's saying is the military is essentially self-contained. They make the day-to-day decisions about what they do and how to spend the money. The civilian control is about, we want you to go over there and kill those people, and when you're done with them, go kill those people over there. That's what the civilians say, right?
This is true. But Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Medicare has cost 10 times what its original estimate was for. So, I don't understand where this is coming.
Well, listen, you can't understand it, Jason, because it's spin. Barack Obama's justification for why we needed universal health care is because Medicare, along with Medicaid, is driving us under. Lynn, you're on WRKO, and Levine loves being driven into bankruptcy, apparently. Hi, Lynn.
No. This bill will save us money. When
a minister of health from Canada comes to the U.S. for heart surgery, there's an issue. Number two,
please, Mark, do a little bit of research on this, if you would, for me. In the United Kingdom, there are there's a death panel called NICE. National Institute of Clinical Excellence. In the area of kidney cancer in the U.S., there are 8 FDA treatments that you can get on any insurance or in any hospital to fight it. In the U.K., you can only get 1. Why? Not because they don't work, because they're too expensive.
But that's not
what
this bill does.
Happen here.
That's how it's built.
You know that's where it's going. You know that's exactly where it's going. Because 10
years Mark, that's where those advisory panels that Paul Krugman is making reference to is going to come into play. They're going to make binding decisions based upon budgets.
They're not binding. Well, they're called advisory. To me, advisory doesn't mean binding.
Oh,
right?
You've never looked at how the government works.
You've got to listen to Krugman.
Mark,
let's play Krugman's own words.
Wait. There's the door to the death panel. Let's send Levine through right now. 617-266-6860. When he comes out, let's see if he still thinks there are no death panels. Even though the angel of the liberal healthcare movement, Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize winner, says it's the best part of the healthcare bill. He loves the death panels.
It's amazing.
Good morning. It is Tom and Todd. Friday. Beautiful day. Beautiful weekend. 75 today. Up near 80 tomorrow. Hallelujah. Spring is here, maybe summer.
Hallelujah. That
global warming finally setting in. We've been waiting.
It might be in the Old Testament. You might have some familiarity with
I'm
that.
I'm trying to draw on the holiness of last night, today, and tomorrow, and
Thursday,
Sunday.
Good Friday, that's
and
right.
And Monday. Let's make it a long,
the
holy
book of
weekend.
Exodus, with which you have no familiarity. I bet you Mark Levine knows about the
He knows
book
about
of Exodus.
The Exodus he causes when he, as a liberal, walks in the room. Mark Levine with us from RadioInsideScoop.com. Mark, thanks for your time this morning.
Sure.
Sure, we woke him up. Bob in Lynn.
You did, but that's okay.
Good morning, Bob. You're on WRKO with Mark Levine.
That's Bob in Lynn.
Is that the governor? We've got the governor.
Who did it? Mark Levine?
How'd you cut him off, Bucks?
Because he's a liberal. He doesn't know how to use a phone.
Yeah, that's true.
You just did not cut off Mark Levine.
No, Mark cut himself off. Cooksey just explained.
Ugh.
It's a liberal thing.
God.
All right, let's...
You guys are rude. You really are.
He didn't do it on purpose. Give him a break. Come on. He wouldn't have cut off Mark on purpose.
I hope not.
617-266-6860. We're talking about health care and any other way. If you want to hear the liberal defense of any program that Obama is pushing, throw it at Mark Levine. He's got the talking points.
He's got the talking points.
Doesn't he?
Come on. You don't think he brings some independent thought to this?
No.
Sure he does.
No independent
sure
thought.
Sure he does. Absolutely.
Nope. He gets the memo. He memorizes it. He's got a great memory.
Yeah. No,
and he learns the talking points. And he spews them indiscriminately, even if it's the off topic. Doesn't matter. Is he ready to go?
He's talking about mileage standards.
He's chatting with him.
We're asking about health care. He's talking about mileage standards. The talking points.
Or Miley Cyrus. Whatever. It's all the same thing. Chris, good morning. You're on WRKO with Mark Levine. Hi, Chris.
There it is. Mark's back. Great. Excellent. Good morning, Chris.
Blood has been boiling just listening to this. And, Mark, you're part of the reason why people like me fight people like you on this stuff. I got to say 2 points. For one, for a guy and for, like, I guess an ideology that hates the corporate culture and you complain about how they profit and everything else like that, all you've done is guarantee their profits. This is not health care reform. This is insurance reform. Let's get that straight, because what you've done is essentially created the biggest corporate gift since the establishment of the military-industrial complex. And let's tell you, guy, how well did that work out?
So you're basically saying it doesn't go far enough, that we need to have a public option.
No, I'm saying that it's not reform, Mark. I'm saying that it's not reform. It's not reform at all. All it is a corporate gift. Obama sold himself out, sold his campaign promises out. This is garbage.
But wait a sec, Chris.
Let me ask you this. Fighting you guys on this.
What about your water bill? What about your utilities
what
bill?
What about
That's
my water bill?
That's all regulated too. Is that a corporate gift? They're allowed some small amount of profit, and I don't see a lot of abuse there.
But how is this reform if you're complaining about the people who profited and did all these nasty things, which I will agree, everything to do with cutting people off from their health care was a bad thing, and we should have reformed that, and that's wonderful. But to turn around and say this is that you're going to somehow guarantee that my rates are going to stay the same, or you're going to guarantee that my costs are going to be contained, and you're giving it to the corporate elites who want to make a profit, that makes absolutely no sense.
But there's a portion of the bill that you may not be aware of that limits their profits. It says they must spend at least 80% of what they take in on health care.
Until the lobbyists go to the congressman, until they can twist some arms and they can make more profit. Come on, you're smarter
than that. As long as Republicans get in power, as long as the Democrats are in power, you're okay. If Republicans get in power,
sure,
they
trust you guys.
Insurance company.
Trust you guys. But another point that I do want to make, because you're talking about how you say massage won't help, you pay for it yourself, or you know what you call it, you know, treatments you don't want to see people do. I don't want to get into too much of a personal story, but I'll tell you, if it weren't for, you know, the forthright experience, you know, people being like thinking forward in terms of doctors, my girlfriend would be dead, because she came back from a foreign country very ill, and it took several different treatments to get her better. And I'm talking not several, like in the order of 50 over several different doctors. What your plan does, and you can't tell me another way, you would be a death panel. Because she wouldn't be able to get it, because you'd find some way to say, well, that treatment's not going to work for this particular illness because we don't know what it is.
Oh, of course, Chris. That's obviously how they're going to make ends meet. There was a very compelling story a week or two ago in the paper about people who are forced to take a generic drug under Medicare, and they really need the original one. The generic doesn't behave the same as the original, but Medicare issues its decree, a death panel, that says, tough luck, guys. You need that drug. You can't have it. 617-266-6868. Bob and Lynn, you're on WRK with Mark Levine. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Hello, Mark. Going back to the conversation you had with the gentleman that was trying to overtalk you.
Yeah.
Okay, I was at my doctor's office this week, and it was relived this morning. Everything you said, with the exception of one other comment, everything you said is completely correct. The only thing he added was, you will have nurses treating you, okay, because the doctors are going to take off. They'll go to some hick place, and the care is going to go right down the hill. And as far as death panel's concerned, the only thing I see a problem with is that why are we keeping people in their late 80s and 90s in ICU departments so they can live an extra 2 or 3 days or a week or so.
And do you want there to be a special old people death panel, or will the general death panel be in charge of killing them?
No, not general. I'm talking about if you've got somebody that's 90 years old,
yeah,
and they're going to die. Everybody knows they're going to die, but they're in ICU.
Okay.
And now, can't they take them more of a step down from that instead of the outrageous cost of ICU? I mean, I don't mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
I wouldn't be nervous about it, Bill. They'll definitely be doing that.
Well, they already do it now. Let's be clear. Kaiser says today, you're going to die. I'm sorry, we're not covering this. Oh, I'm sorry, your child was born with a pre-existing condition. We're not going to cover them. They're going to die. So death panels prior to this legislation do exist. After the legislation, you're going to have governments deciding what works and what doesn't.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you can't still buy what
exactly.
works.
Exactly. So now you're admitting
for example,
this death panel.
The Food and Drug Administration for the last 100 years has said, you know what? Arsenic doesn't cure you. Used to be people would sell arsenic as snake oil. Hey, arsenic, that'll cure you. Today they say, you know what? Arsenic won't cure you. If you want to buy poison, you buy it yourself. And you have the best medical mind saying that. That's not a death panel. That's better than the current system.
Well, it's a death panel to the people who could be saved by the arsenic.
I don't think so. I don't think the arsenic will save you, even if you pay for it.
If the arsenic wouldn't save anyone, then it's not a death panel decision. It's a safety decision. What we're talking about is things that are valid treatments that are too expensive that will be withheld. I just gave you an example of one that Medicare does, where they withhold a certain drug except in its generic form. It costs a fraction of the one that has efficacy, but the one that has efficacy, people can't get because Medicare says, screw you.
If it's more efficacious, then you can go and you can say, hey, doctor, show that it is, and that's fine. Here's the thing. Do you want, I think this gentleman on the phone has it right. Let's say you've got a 100-year-old, and they need quintuple heart bypass surgery to live 3 more days. It'll cost society $1 million. Are you saying that you want to pay taxes that $1 million, Todd?
No.
That 100-year-old gets the quintuple heart bypass
what
surgery?
What I'm saying is we have a system where these issues have been largely worked out, and everybody's pretty comfortable with how it operates. And
not the people who die. They're less comfortable because they don't speak take much.
And we're proposing turning it over to the government, which nobody trusts, and nobody likes the product the government puts out. So
I think people
are going to be a lot less happy.
I used to the FDA. I think it's been 100 years.
The FDA is a disaster.
Like
no, it's not.
The FDA is
Mark Levine is right.
Disaster.
Mark Levine is absolutely right about the FDA.
617-266-6868.
There are certain things you don't leave to the private sector, and look up thalidomide. Look up the history of thalidomide.
Well, why was thalidomide on the market?
Why was it on the market? Yeah. Because the FDA wasn't doing a good job 40
exactly.
years ago.
And they're still
not.
No, that's my
point. Not true.
It's Tom and Todd with Mark Levine, 680 WRKO.